Welcome to Fill the Cup podcast, where your cups are filled with inspiration, wisdom, insight, and allowing me to speak to you from the perspective of what God has put in my cup to put in your cup. So let's take a journey on this episode to really dive in for what the Lord would have for me to tell you. So get your empty cups ready as we dive in. Now, it is Holy Week, and you're going to be getting this episode on Good Friday. And I believe in the spirit of Holy Week, we got to address something as a body of Christ, because I really want to speak to my believers on this one. Because I believe that once I can really speak to you guys, let's pretend we're one-on-one with this conversation we're going to have today. Once I get to speak to you guys, we'll kind of be able to fully digest what the Lord will have for me to tell you and how we should proceed. So today's topic is going to be, why do believers give the least amount of grace and love to pastors who fall? Why do believers? And go ahead and comment, you know, your thoughts, or DM me your thoughts on Instagram at More Motivation, MOOREER Motivation. But why do you think that believers struggle with giving grace and love when pastors make a mistake, they fall, they say something that we don't like, there's a viral clip of something that we don't like? And this has been something that's been brewing in my spirit for so long to talk about, but I just didn't know in what way did God want to use me to really talk about this. But on this episode, I really want to embark on this because I believe that as believers, God is calling us to a higher level of being doers of grace. So many of us, we participate in the grace that God gives us. We want others to give us grace as humans. But a lot of believers still struggle with seeing a pastor potentially say the wrong thing. And I really want to tackle, what is your response? What is your first response as a believer when you see a pastor do something that's not favorable? When you see them get caught up in a scandal, what is your first response? That's what we need to tackle. So when it comes to God, he has not called believers to cancel culture. That's not what we represent. As a Christ follower, you cannot be someone who subscribes to cancel culture. We have so much of the world that is lost, that is hiding behind keyboards on social media, just canceling people for doing the wrong thing. Like, they literally, there's a spirit in them. It's not them, it's a spirit in them that can't wait to see a leader or any man of God or any woman of God fall into some sort of scandal. And their first response is to ridicule them. But if they are an unbeliever, if they're somebody who genuinely has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I still have grace to understand that they're just not there yet to understand the gravity or the weight of the hate that they give, that they allow the spirit in them to give. But when it comes to believers, we hold a different responsibility to cover our leaders in prayer. And our first response when our leaders fail or make a mistake or say the wrong thing that we may even question, does it align with the word of God, or was that just their opinion? Our first response should be prayer. Our first response should be, okay, this specific pastor that I love, he was on this radio show and he said something I don't like. Or he had a sermon clip and he demonstrated something on stage that I don't agree with. So, Lord, I pray that if this was not in your will for this specific leader or pastor to do that, if this was not in your will, God, I pray that not only will you convict them in love and in grace, but that you'll give them wisdom to make the right choices as far as how they deliver your gospel, or that you give them wisdom and discernment on following your will for what you would have them to say or have them to do. And Lord, I just pray that you cover their mind and cover their thoughts and order their steps. And I love this person. In Jesus' name, amen. And also, God, if I'm wrong about the way that I'm feeling, if my opinion is actually wrong, then also expose that to me as well. Because maybe I'm just not understanding the whatever they meant by whatever they did that I don't agree with. If that is your first response, what God will do is he will not only develop you in wisdom, but there will be an overflow waiting for you as a believer to have a lifestyle where you respond gently in grace. I think so much of us, because we do not want to deal with our own issues, our own traumas, our own mess that we hide so much, it's easy for us to almost use the word of God to slap and to target and to tear down our leaders when they do something we don't like. We almost manipulate the word of God to make them feel bad, just so we can look more holier than thou, just so we can look like we got it all together. But let me tell you right now, you are called to love on your leaders. You're called to love on your pastors. I don't care if there's a pastor that cheated on his wife. Yes, we are meant to hold them accountable. Yes, they have a responsibility to follow the word of God. But as a believer, as a Christ follower, whether that is, you know, the church that you attend, whether this is somebody that is giving you a song or has ministered to your heart in any kind of way, or giving you any sort of advice or blessed you in any kind of way, as a believer, God has also called you to the same responsibility of grace, because these are human beings, y'all. I think we forget that when we look at pastors, when we see their platforms, when we see the weight of their anointing, when we see the amount of attention that they're getting, we tend to not realize that they are human beings having a human experience. And there's going to be times that they're going to say things, even on stage, that may not be fully in the will of God. But that doesn't mean that God strips them of their calling or strips them of their anointing if they say the wrong thing. But God has called you as a follower of him to respond in love, to respond in prayer, to cover them with love. And I genuinely believe that God is requiring more of us in this season. He's saying, look, woman of God, look, man of God, instead of you making that comment on that certain pastor's social media about why you don't like what they did, have you talked to me about it? Have you actually consulted me about if it was actually my will for them to do that? Whether you agree with it or not, or only are you only responding in your feelings? And God is sick and tired of us resembling the world in cancel culture. As believers, we are set apart. We cannot blend in with the rest of the world when it comes to cancel culture. And there's going to be times where certain pastors or certain churches, they're going to miss the mark. But it is not your responsibility to jump on podcasts and jump on comment sections and jump on YouTube videos and jump on whatever platform you create to immediately tear them down. It is your job to love on them. And if you even know that pastor, have a conversation with them. It's time that, yes, we hold each other accountable, but let's have healthy dialogue. So I also want to go to the word of God about this, because I don't want to just give this off of my own opinion. I want to come from the word of God. So I first want to tackle James 3. So let's just get into that, and I'll jump from a couple of verses. But James 3 tells us, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. Which really what this scripture is saying is there is no perfect man. Able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. And then I'm going to jump to verse 8. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Let's pause right there. So many of you, of us as believers, we are using our tongues as poison against the people of God, against the people that God has called us to love. And God is saying that no human has the power to tame his tongue. So that even means pastors. Sometimes pastors are not always in the position to tame their tongue. Sometimes they speak from feelings, even on platforms. But God is saying is that that can be a restless evil full of deadly poison. And it can be used to curse people who are made in the likeness of God. And from that same mouth come blessing and cursing. But my brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can salt pond yield fresh water. So really what this scripture is really trying to tell us is that we don't have enough power on our own to tame our tongues. We need God to almost take over. We need to allow God to not only hold us accountable when we may say the wrong things on a platform, but we also need to be so cautious about how we use our tongue to curse and tear down another person of God. And then I want to dig into this next scripture that God gave me for this subject. So bear with me as I get to it because I have my Bible in front of me. Bear with me here. Because I believe that God is like really just dealing with us about our heart postures and where is our head at? And why do we feel so comfortable just always tearing people down? So Romans 14:13 tells us, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. So you have to understand, when you pass unnecessary judgment, when you choose to join the rest of the world and get in comment sections and tear down pastors or leaders that may do something you don't like, you are now creating a stumbling block for them. You're not actually creating a place of peace for them or a place of safety for them to actually be convicted properly of whatever they've done. You're creating a stumble block by you judging them in the wrong manner, by you judging them aside from the will of God. You are creating a stumbling block for your brother or sister in Christ. You're not actually providing any edification. You're not providing any sort of instruction. You are creating stumbling blocks when you choose to cancel and when you choose to speak against those who God has called. Because guess what? Those who God has called, he's going to allow them to say things that's going to upset us. He's going to allow them to. It doesn't mean that that he agrees with it or is that something he instructed, but he'll allow a certain leader to say something that may really piss you off or that may not be in alignment with his word, just to see those who respond in love and those who immediately join the rest of the world and tear them down. He really wants to see, like, how do my believers respond when a man of God or a woman of God can say the wrong thing? How do they respond? Do they consult me first? Do I mean that much to them that they care more about what I have to say about it or the understanding that I want to give them about it? Or do they immediately choose the other way? And I'm also going to get into this other part of the scripture. Romans 14 verse 4. Romans 14 verse 4 tells us, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. Let's hear that. So that's pretty much telling us that God is the big dog here. You're not God. That person that you're disagreeing with, that leader or that pastor that you're disagreeing with, they have the same God that you serve, that you're supposed to be consulting about your feelings and things that you don't agree with. That's who they got to answer to, because the master, who is Jesus Christ, who is God Almighty, the master is who they will stand or fall under. That's who the feet that they have to submit to. It's not you. It's not your opinion. It's not how much that upsets you to hear whatever they said or whatever they did or the decision that they made or whatever it is. It is their own master, who is God, that they stand or fall. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. But here's the beauty of the scripture is telling us in Romans 14 verse 4. It's telling us that God will be, that even though that person will be upheld for the Lord, the Lord is able to make him stand. So when the brother or sister is not like upholding them and uplifting them in love, the Lord is actually able to make them stand. So even when they fall, even when they say the wrong things, even when they get caught up in a nasty affair, get caught up in some scandal, it is the Lord that can make them stand. It's not you. So I think the whole basis of what I'm trying to explain to you guys is stop trying to be God. That's not your role. Know your place. Your place is to love. Your place is to pray and be there for your brothers and sisters, no matter how wrong they are. Because when that is your heart posture, God is going to be able to call you to more people to share his gospel. He needs to know that the believers that say they believe in him and are truly saved and sanctified, he needs to know that you take the souls seriously when it comes to love and grace. Because if he grants you love and grace for your mess, for all the mistakes you've made, why are you not able to respond like that when somebody else falls? And I think we really have to analyze this, because I think God is really bringing us into a reckoning where we're seeing a lot of pastors get caught up in scandal. And whether it's true or not, whether it's rumors or not, we're seeing pastors do sermon. I'm not even going to say any specific names, but you know who I'm talking about. We see certain pastors do demonstrations on stage or illustrations that we disagree with that create scandal, and we come against them. We're seeing pastors who get caught up in scandals that we're like wondering, wait, did that really happen? Or like, and the thing is, because the voices of the unbelievers are so loud, we want to like fall in line and sound like everybody else. But God is calling our voice in this season to be amplified in love, to be amplified in grace. Grace and love is uncomfortable at times. It's uncomfortable to stand by a pastor or leader who has made a mistake, who's done the wrong thing, and say, you know what? I choose to love him. And you actually might attack me for loving that pastor, but I actually choose to love them. Like, God is truly like a part of my anointing and a part of my purpose here as a kingdom citizen is God is calling me to raise my voice for leaders. Leaders need our love. They need our prayer. They need to know that they're seen, that they are human. Like, I cover my bishop and my pastor in so much prayer. Like, I love him so much that no matter what he may say that may get attacked or may get ridiculed, that I just want my bishop to know he gonna always have my back. Even if he does things I don't agree with, he gonna always have my back, because I made a vow in my heart that I'm gonna stand by my bishop. And that's not just for my bishop. I'm gonna stand by the pastors and leaders that I know God has called. And I'm gonna say, yes, they may fail, and I'm not even actually shocked by the things that other people are shocked by. but I'm going to respond in love. And God is really wanting you to take inventory over your own heart. Because if you're constantly the one trying to correct and judge and really attack those who make a mistake that are pastors or leaders, if that's your first response as a believer, you're not going to be able to heal the brokenness or allow God to transform the brokenness and the misery that still lives and exists in you to this day. God wants to heal that. He wants to heal all the things that you try to expose in others. He wants you to stop hiding behind attacking others and deal with your own mess. So many of us, it's hard for us to look at our own issues. So we amplify our voices when other people mess up. We amplify our voices when we see somebody on a reality TV act a fool. We amplify our voices when another pastor has gone viral for saying something we don't like. We get on our platforms and we try to get views off of tearing down our leaders. And it's time out for it. It's time out. The word of God is very clear when it tells us we cannot pass judgment on one another any longer. That is what Romans 14:13 is telling us. God is loud about this. He's saying we cannot afford to do this. That we just can't afford to. Because God is the one that does the transforming. God is the one that does the convicting. God is the one that does the correcting. Stop trying to take his seat. Stop trying to do his job. Just be his servant and love. Love, love, love. So if you're a leader listening to this and you've been in any sort of point of attack, or you felt broken just from maybe making mistakes, I just want you to know from my mouth, as I allow God to speak through me, that you're loved, you're seen, and you're important. And that no matter what mistake you make, I'm gonna stick beside you. Because as I really embark in the ministry, I know that there's going to be a season when I'm going to need somebody to stick beside me and encourage me and love on me, even if I may not say all the right things on stage. So I love you guys. I hope that this episode blessed you, and I hope you will really take full inventory on how you respond to those who fall. And this is not only just pastors and leaders. This is anybody in any capacity of your life. We have to tackle our responses. And is it rooted in prayer? Is it rooted in God giving us understanding and not us focusing on our feelings? So I love you. Thank you for watching or listening, I should say. And I will see you on the next episode. I hope your cups are full, because the Holy Spirit filled my cup for this episode. Love you guys. Have a great week.